Shall we pray?
Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all your children gathered here this morning be acceptable in thy sight, you Lord, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. During Jesus' short ministry here on earth, he performed many miracles. But John chose only seven of them to include in his gospel. Now, he called them signs because they demonstrated Jesus' nature and divine ability. At the end of his gospel, when John came to the end of his gospel, he says, "And Jesus performed many other signs in front of his disciples. But these ones are written so that you may know that he was the Son of God. And by believing, you may have life through his name." And our particular passage this morning begins with the words, "On the third day." That is to say, 3 days after Jesus, after John the Baptist had proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God, he went to Cana and performed his first recorded miracle. And John repeatedly uses the idea of the third day. For example, the raising of Lazarus on the third day. This particular wedding in Cana on the third day. Or Jesus' own resurrection 3 days after. You see, for John, the third day is crucial because it ties up all the major miracles with God raising Jesus from the dead. People often say, you never know what tomorrow may bring. And if that is true about tomorrow, what about the day after tomorrow, which is the third day? And if we are people of the third day, what does that tell us about our hope in God? The setting of this wedding was in a rural village where Jesus, his disciples, as well as his mother had been invited. It was a wedding. And I find it fascinating that the first earthly miracle of Jesus was at a wedding. And the entire human history will end in a wedding, as we read in Revelation 19. Listen. "Then the angel said to me, write this down. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb." Most of you will have heard of the phrase, or even used it, "all in God's time." Yes? But it's not always that easy, is it? We don't always want to wait for things to happen in God's own time, do we? No, we want them to happen now. We want them to happen when we want. You know how the slogan goes. What we want, justice, When do we want it? Now. Okay, let's rehash that and make it more interesting. But this time, when I ask, what do we want, say, I want you to say, end of COVID. Okay? What do we want?
End of COVID.
When do we want it?
Now.
It's catchy, isn't it? It's very nice. We don't want to wait until that time. We want it to happen now. That is the culture which we live in the 21st century. If a member of our family is unwell, we want them to be healed today, and rightly so. If it's a house buying process or that perfect job that we are looking for, we want it to happen now. When we order something online, we don't want to wait until tomorrow. That's why most of you have Amazon Prime accounts, which you pay $7.99 per month, even though you don't use them. We don't want to wait for things. We want them to happen now. But during the last 2 years, when we had lockdowns and restrictions, things had to change. We couldn't just jump into our car and go and visit a friend or a relative whenever we wanted, unless, of course, you happen to be Dominic Cummings. We couldn't just go on a holiday at the drop of a hat. Those major events, celebrations, weddings, and big occasions, if they happened at all, it was with a limited capacity. We held the wedding of my daughter here in the church, and only 15 of us were allowed here. And even then, we were not allowed any food or drinks. And so you can imagine how miffed some of us were when we learned that good, nice parties were going on in 10 Downing Street. Yes, I know. It is absolutely hilarious. To be fair, though, some of these restrictions were more hard on some people than others. If you are unable to attend the funeral of a loved one, or you are restricted or stopped from holding the hands of your loved one in the hospital as they lay there dying, or you've been even confined to your house for almost 2 years without much human restriction, without human contact, then that's definitely much, much more harder than missing out on a party. Yet, despite these challenges, and without in any way wanting to play down the effects of the restrictions, the harmful effects of the restrictions, this forced opportunity to stop and slow down the now culture was very welcome. The air pollution in most major cities cleared. The greenhouse gases emissions was reduced drastically. And most of us, especially if you wake up early enough, we could hear distinctly the dawn chorus of the birds. Yes, for a brief moment, humanity was in rhythm with nature. And so we had to start finding other ways to celebrate life. Some of us mastered technology, and we started sharing birthdays and other events using the computer or phone screens. Some of you joined Keep Fit lessons via Zoom. Choirs, even orchestras. We even started meeting again as a group for our Bible study online. For most people, going outside became much, much more important. We celebrated the sunrise and the sunsets, the starlit skies, the crashing of the waves on the beach, the walk in the park, the first snowfall, or even the first daffodil blooming. For each and every one of us, small things became important. We started seeing the extraordinary in the ordinary. And collectively, we started appreciating those things which we had ignored for so long. In the wedding at Cana, Jesus transformed something that was ordinary, an ordinary wedding, into something extraordinary. For you and me, it didn't have to be the transformation of water into wine, but we did, and we found ways to express our joy, surprise, and even miracles in the ordinary lives. Collectively, we started appreciating everything we had ignored for so long. And I wonder, do you look for the extraordinary in the ordinary? Or are you just content with the ordinary? And what is Mary's role in this story? Could this miracle have happened without her telling Jesus that the wine was running out? You see, often Mary's input is overlooked, especially by us Protestants in this role. But without her quiet presence, this miracle probably would never have happened. She saw the problem and identified the solution. She spoke authoritative and effective words. She knew Jesus was capable of something extraordinary. Such was her faith. How is your faith? Do you believe in the transformation of the ordinary? There's a wonderful film which I would like you to watch when you're free, those who have got access to Netflix. It's called Salmon Fishing in Yemen. In that film, a rich Arab sheikh dreams of bringing salmon fishing into this desert nation, which is tucked at the bottom of the southern peninsula of the Arabian Peninsula, right at the bottom just before you get to Africa. It's a desert nation which is very famous right now, or infamous right now, for the longest going on civil warfare. And at first, this marine scientist was quite skeptical about the idea of salmon fishing in a desert. And slowly but slowly, as the project started picking up, he started getting excited about the possibility of what he had thought was impossible. And as the project took shape, it initiated an upstream journey of faith which made the impossible possible and transformed the community. The story before us today may be about a wedding in Cana of Galilee. But it prompts us to ask questions. Questions about transformation, both individual and collective. Where do you see God doing extraordinary things and making transformation in your community? My prayer for each and every one of us here this morning is that God will slow you down long enough and open your eyes, those physical and spiritual, wide enough so that you may be able to see the transformative miracles all around you. Amen.